Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this third Sunday of Easter Jubilate is our Old Testament reading, the Lamentations of Jeremiah the prophet, the third chapter, starting at verse 18 and going to verse 26. I will read it in its entirety as we go, but this is the word of the Lord, and so we pray, sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes, though, we just cannot see this. Him. Right? These times in our lives, in life, we cannot see any good, any hope. And if you read the Psalms, you see that King David and some of the other writers of the Psalms are right there with us. Any hope, anything for the future, we cannot hold up, as Jeremiah states, verses 18 through 20. Then I thought, my future is lost, as well as my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed, not even hope in the Lord. Is this faithlessness? Well, if it is, we are accusing Jesus about being so, as this is more about him than about Jeremiah. We may say, huh? Didn't you know that Jesus did not cheat when he went through all that he went through for us? This is how he felt. Why? Why, O Lord, have you abandoned me? Didn't you know that we were not designed, we were not meant to endure such things? And so when we do, what? Nothing. Blackness. Yet somehow we get used to a little of it, and then a little more, and some more all our lives. We think it ends up, we think it's normal at a certain point. And we may blame, we may ask why too, but it is not from experiencing for the first time God's abandonment. That was Jesus. No, we feel the guilt, we feel the shame, we know why we ought to have felt us. For us, it is. Why can't I go on sinning and God be okay with that? Why do I have to change? Why can't I? And I feel no guilt. Why can't I do that and feel no good? Why can't I be not ashamed? Why did you make me this way, God? Why did you have to have so many rules that I cannot even seem to ever want to do? That is a whole other thing than what Jesus was experiencing from the cross. For him, it was a first. But I did no wrong. His body cried out. But I said nothing contrary ever to your word, O Father. I never stopped loving you and them with my whole heart. So why? Oh yeah, them. Them. Us. I carry their guilt and shame. Their sin I took upon here with me to die for them, as if they were here so that they would not have to be here. Father, forgive them. But still the blackness, still the blindness, still the other empty despair. What of faith? Well, that is just it. Faith is not about how we feel. It's not about how our bodies are doing. It's not about how well we can hold on. Faith is not based on us at all. Thank God for that. Faith is based on truth, God's words, and his actions, not ours. And all of this stands away from us. All that is going on in and around us, it is from the outside, based on things, facts, outside of even this universe, well, until Jesus came. But truth in and about this universe that God has made, that God has made happen. And his truth says that even if we feel like he has left, he has not. Even if it is dark, the light is of his word still illumines the universe. And his promise is that the other comforter will come and bring to remembrance the He had them written down for us so we can hear them, so we can read them, so that we can sing them, so that we can believe them. So we can say with the weeping prophet of despair himself, Jeremiah, verses 21 through 24, yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. Job says, though you slay me, Lord, I will trust you. We can say those words because we have been caused to hear them and believe them. This is how it is done. That is what inspiration does. This is the miracle of real faith. It is based on his doing in us through his word, and this is word. It brings about more faith and the strengthening of faith in him, not in us, not in our ability to get out of a situation. We may not get out of that situation, or to withstand pain and suffering, or to have the right attitude in tribulation. It brings about these things in us, sure, at times, but it does not come because we do them. Faith is the cause of them, not the other way around. It is by grace alone, and it is sufficient for us, for this life. No, it is not a reward. It is a gift. It is a mercy, even where and when we have nothing else to cling by or strength to hope in. Just listen to Jeremiah. No, it brings these. And his spirit that rides the wings of the wind, in the words of his mouth, from these come all these gifts pouring down upon us. With each sunrise, faithfully, as he alone is truly faithful. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. Yes, for however long it takes, whether we can feel good about it or not, whether we can see it or not, whether we die or not. An aside, I had an interesting thing happen to me a while back. Pastors have their things, little troubling parts in theology that they don't quite know what to do with. You know, for me, for a while, it was, what about those people in Africa or in South America that have never heard the message of Christ? And they die. Where do they go? And whose fault is that? All of those questions. We have to understand that God is faithful and good and just. And so that's in his hands. He doesn't give us the answer, and we have to trust that. We have to do that. But, you know, I was having trouble with, especially in the things that have been happening in my own life, getting older and everything, in my wife's and my body breaking down. And the devil's right there, of course. But you think about, okay, maybe she won't wake up from her surgery. Maybe I won't. Maybe, so what will heaven be like? What is this about? I can't imagine it. And so I was being convinced by the devil that somehow that meant I didn't believe in it. I didn't believe God's words. I didn't believe it. So therefore, my faith was not there. I was lacking faith. I was disbelieving. And so my salvation was in question. And then God gives us answers. You know, scriptures teach us. The Spirit is there to combat the devil. And I understand that it has not entered into the minds of men those things that are prepared for us. Just because I can't imagine it does not mean it's not true. And I don't have to be able to imagine it to believe it. There's a lot of things in the universe that we can't see, understand from the new telescope they have up there. All these new things. It's amazing what God put into the universe that we're just discovering now. That we're seeing for the first time with a better telescope. I mean, we haven't seen anything yet. And so that was a burden off of my shoulders. But how dumb can we be? Yeah, you know, this is the blockheadedness of humanity. That's what sin has done to us. But that's the thing here. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put hope in him. Regardless, we trust in him for however long it takes. Whether we can feel good about it now, whether we can imagine it now, whether we can see it now, whether we die or not. Because despite all that is out there, all that darkness, or in here, in us, all that seeks our doom, the devil and the world, all that which does not want us to have or to be, his words of promise still stand. This is his portion given to us. And we can say him. Christ himself, the Word made flesh, poured over us and into us by his word and sacrament. So what do we do? What is it that we are to do while we wait in the meantime? Whether it is that he has placed us in front, whatever it is that he has placed us in front of you, what he has placed in front of you to do. Work, play, eat, sleep, as much as you can. Or, and yes, we will fail. We will weep and worry and pace. I did a lot of that pacing while my wife was under the knife. The doctor, the surgeon said an hour. She was in there 2.5 hours. And they have the screens now that have the, you know, what do you call it? You're watching as progress is being made. And she was under for 2.5 hours, and that was just, talk about pacing. I'm surprised the rug on the floor in that waiting room is not thin, threadbare. I wonder how many times they've had to replace that rug. We will weep and we will worry and we will pace. Yes, there will be those things too. Sin in the mix. Aside from whatever else, we will doubt and mistrust. But King David, who knew all this all too well, says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Righteous? Us? After what I thought and said under my breath while feeling all that anger towards God for putting me in this life, in this mess, whatever I and whatever you have. Yes, again, it is not about us and our faithfulness or righteousness, but about his. And he gives us his. So from and because of that gift of faith, even though Jeremiah was feeling what we feel and doing what we do, he can say, and he can say with David, Jeremiah says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Not that we can do much else, right? Well, some run off and, well, we just should go and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. Yeah, sin, it doesn't matter, right? Let's just go sin. That is a choice that we still have. I'm not talking about that. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Part of the very reason we go through these things are so that we despair of all the other things. Did we give up relying on ourselves and others and other things to help and save and comfort us? He wants us to be those things. He wants to be those things. So when he shows us that they do fail, that they are not strong, that people are fickle and not very reliable, just like us, then when we have to give up, when we have cried ourselves to sleep, when we have quieted down, then we will see how it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. My old pastor told us this with permission from his wife, but they had three girls. I had four girls. There's a certain age, you know, when the worry starts, and so she came up to him and was pacing and worried, and so the advice that, you know, thick-headed fathers and husbands too lightly will comment and say, but he did end up saying, "What can we do? The Lord is their God too. He loves them more than we can or do. Trust him." That's a pastor's answer. He was a pastor. So she paced some more and worried some more. And she says, "I just can't." So he said, "Okay, don't." So she went off and did whatever. She's a school teacher, so she corrected, you know, papers and tests and things, and several hours went by, and she came back and she said, "You know, this is good. I didn't have to do anything. I gave up worrying and I gave up trying. I gave it to him." And not consciously, it just, she understood that it's not in her hands. And she did what God put in front of her to do, the vocation that she had, that the work that she, yes, she's a mother, but a mother can't be everywhere, can't be where her children were. I think they went into Boston to some event. But it sometimes can only be that. The Lord still is faithful when we are not. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Part of the very reason we go through these things is to despair of other things. And when we have to give up, when we have cried ourselves to sleep, when we have when we have quieted down, then we will see how it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Because he is always faithful. Because all has already been accomplished for our salvation. "It is finished," he said. He has done it. It is as sure as the morning and the sun rising. Actually, more sure than that. Those are just creatures that will have come to an end. He will not. Because Christ is risen. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.